The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We now continue airing my wonderful conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn for the Dayspring Christian Academy. Here it is.
Now, Eric, I saw this happen in my own lifetime. When I was a new believer, and actually this was the event that forced me to tell my parents I was a believer in Jesus, I went to Washington. And the thing was, there was a time, and I'm sure you remember it, when it looked like America's falling apart. Carter was president. We were having double-digit inflation, double-digit employment. We were on gas lines. Everything was falling apart, and we had 52 American hostages in Iran. And every day we turned on the television and say, death to America, death to America. Then Carter sent in a rescue thing. They crashed, and it was disaster. A gloom was on America. And they were saying it's
but the most important thing, you need to focus, Jonathan, the most important thing, Carter never sent a mean tweet in his life.
All right.
Focus on what's important.
We'll give him that.
Go ahead.
Of course, there were no tweets, but we'll give him that. Okay.
All right.
So what happened was, at that same moment, Christians gathered from around the country, and they came to the Washington Mall, and they prayed with one scripture. The scripture was, if my people. They kept saying again and again and again. I remember being there.
What year was that?
That was 1980. If my people, if my people, if my... And I was there. I was a new believer. And I remember two prayers. One is everybody grabbed their hands and they said, Lord, where we were helpless with these hostages and over a year, you release them by your hand. Okay, that was one. Number two, everybody put their hands to the Capitol building, to the Western Terrace, and said, Lord, put into government whom you want. Now, here's what happened. A few months later, there was an election. There was a revolution in the polls. And all these people who were saying we're on for biblical values were swept into office, including Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was, this is about politics, about it. He was inaugurated on and the thing. Now, the inauguration had always been for over 100 years, 150 years, had been on the eastern side. They changed it to the western side, so now he's standing where we were praying and saying, God, put who you want there. And he's facing where we were all praying, if my people. But in the hour that he was sworn in, the hostages were released. So two prayers in one moment. And then we saw a change of history. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter your politics, America started rebounding economically, the world, the Soviet Union fell, all these things, they called it mourning in America, right? It was like another chance. But it all changed when Ronald Reagan put his hand on the Bible. But it wasn't just the Bible. He had his hand on a verse. The verse he had his hand on was, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land. God, the God of the Bible, the God of Solomon, who he said it to, is still the God who is alive and well today. He can do miracles. He can change anything. But if my people, it's if.
That is a fact. I thought we had 40 minutes left, but I was just told that that's a typographical error on the clock, and we have about 2 minutes left. So give us a final thought. I know that... Dr. Myers will come up here, and then we'll come back up after that. But give us a final thought.
Yeah. First of all, you said, if my people. So the ultimate, the two words that are so important are three, or is my people and the word if. God still is alive and well. And if what we're seeing here with all the things we're saying, that's showing you how real God is in all these things. God is alive and well, and if he gives a promise, he will keep it. But for there to be revival, there has to be repentance. For there to be revival, it has to begin with us. We're the people. We can't just pray for revival. We have to pray for revival as never before. But we have to start living in revival. If we will live in revival, the revival starts now. And do not fear the darkness. The darkness, just like it is here, the dark getting darker, the lights of God, you all have lights on your table, the lights will shine brighter than ever. And if America, in many ways, is going from bad to worse, it's time that we go from good to great. You see, don't fear. A lot of you have been praying, say, I wish I could live in biblical times. Congratulations. You're there now.
In biblical times.
You're there now.
Yeah.
These are the days of Jeremiah. That's what it was. These are the days of Isaiah. These are the days of Elijah. You know, we sing, these are the days of Elijah. Well, it wasn't just miracles. It was persecution. But that's when you have the greatest testimonies. That's when God pours out his power, the greatest for those. It says the eyes of the Lord are searching the entire earth, looking for the one whose heart is completely his. He will lift them up. You be that one. You be that person, and God will do it. You be that person. Let it begin here. Amen. Let it begin in Pennsylvania.
Amen.
In fact, if it's okay.
I was going to say, I think before we leave the stage temporarily, I think we should pray.
Yeah.
Dr. Myers is going to come up. And these people, if they're listening to the Holy Spirit, are going to write a sacrificial level check.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We now come to the Q&A part of my conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. The host was Dr. Michael Myers of Dayspring Christian Academy. Here it is.
And now let us welcome back to the stage our special guests and our friends, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and Eric Metaxas.
They're still here.
They certainly
terrific.
Are.
Terrific.
And I have a ton of questions.
You have a ton of questions?
Yeah, and we have 40 minutes on the clock.
That's excellent. Isn't that great?
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Joshua.
I do have a few questions because I think a lot of people have questions, and we appreciate very much being able to get inside your minds because you both have so much to offer. And for one thing, I'm going to say your books have immensely blessed and impacted me, both of you, and I really appreciate that. I'm so thankful that you are going to be able to be out there signing books at the end, so don't forget. Get in line and have your book signed this evening over in that direction. There's an opening in the wall that you'll go through there. But let's begin by, I know you touched on this before, and you said that it's not too late for America because there's always hope for America. But is there a tipping point that at some point where you feel that, you know, it's just too late? Is that something that we should look for, or
I think that
don't even look at that?
The double masking was the tipping point. It's clear there's no coming back from that level of lunacy. It's over.
The
question was directed to you.
There is a point. The Bible speaks about it. The only thing is, until we know what that point is, we got to pray for hope. We got to pray for hope.
Okay.
We got to pray for God's hand.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Another question that comes up a lot is, what role does the church have in civil government? Should the church stay out of that stuff and mind its own business with the spiritual heart of the people?
You mean like the dead churches are doing?
Well, let's go there.
You want to start?
11 years ago, I wrote a book about the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. When I wrote the book, I didn't realize that it was prophetic. I believe, like Jonathan Kahn, that the Lord led me to see things and to write things before I even knew what was going on. When you look at it now, it's staggering, unfortunately, the parallels. And Bonhoeffer was trying to tell the church to wake up and to resist the Nazis. Many in the church at that time said, no, we just want to preach the gospel. It's hard to believe the devil could say, we just want to preach the gospel, but it was the devil who was saying that. Because when you say, we just want to preach the gospel, you don't even know what the gospel is. They decided we're not going to be political, but sometimes politics comes to you. When they're putting Jews in boxcars to Treblinka and Auschwitz, if you do not stand up and do more than preach the gospel, you don't know what the gospel is. You're a hypocrite or a dead Christian. And when things are happening as they are happening in America today, when half of the country doesn't even believe the election happened properly, it is chaos and madness. If the church does not stand up and speak boldly and with courage, we will go down the path precisely that Germany went. We are no better than the Germans, and we're no worse. If the church in that nation turns away and says, not yet, we're not ready to make any enemies, we're just going to preach the gospel, we're going to be apolitical, they are paving the way for the devil to do evil things. And there's no reason that that cannot happen here. And I would say it absolutely will happen here if the church does not stand up and get as political as Wilberforce and Bonhoeffer did.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Our love is a lie, and so we begin. Foolishly laying our hearts on.
Folks, you've been listening to my special interview with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. We did it at an event for Dayspring Christian Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I agree, and I can identify. My father grew up under Hitler as a Jew, and he escaped. That's the reality of evil, that the Bible says. Right, you know, we're watching America, kind of the middle ground disappearing, and things getting extreme on both sides. The one time that happened in history was Weimar Germany, where you had the extreme, you had extremes fighting in the streets and all this stuff, and that was the result of it. It is crucial. And the other doctrine of the German church is that's for this space, and we're in this space, and the church part doesn't have to touch the rest of the world. The Lord never gave us that option. He said, you are the light, not of the church, you're the light of the world. You're the salt, not of the sanctuary, you're the salt of the earth. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? If we don't shine, who is going to shine? If we don't do it, and if we just withdraw, listen, I mean, it's one thing if we can't. That's one thing. They will still shine a light another way. But if we just say, hey, we're withdrawing, that means we're taking the light out. There will be no light in government. So we have to, in what we have, in the time we have, we have to affect, shine, and touch, impact every area of life that we can. It says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We have to do that. He said, go. He didn't say, stay back. Because if we don't go forward, if we don't fight it now in the public square, we're going to fight it at our doorstep. If we don't go to it, it's going to come to us. But God called, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So we are to be on the offense.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I've said a lot about education tonight, and I have a vested interest in that, and I believe that's the calling that God has on my life. But I would like to know, do you think that education will make a difference? Christian education can make a difference, or is it a peripheral thing that we're talking about tonight?
Well, you're literally making a difference tonight. That's a fact. It's extraordinary. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for giving us this platform. But Jonathan, please.
You know, the Bible says train up the child. If you don't do this, you know, if you don't do that, if you don't have education, that you're cutting off the link. There's no future. How there's no future there if there's no transmission of it. So it's crucial. And it's amazing because if you look at, I mean, the American school system was founded for the gospel. The public school system was founded for the glory of God. Now look at it. You know, many probably don't remember, but in the early 60s, that's when they took out the Bible, took out prayer, and look what's come in now. Look at what's come in. When you take away God, the vacuum isn't going to stay. You're going to have something else come in. So at the same time, notice, the same time where there's threats as never before to Christian education, there are laws which, if passed, will put every Christian school on the defense to survive. That's why it is so crucial, because if you don't do it, the next generation is going to be lost. And the other thing is, the same time that, look what they're indoctrinating the children into in public schools, and they're trying to cut off Christian schools. Well, that tells you, if the battle is there, that tells you there must be something very important, because the enemy does not waste his ammunition.
I was going to say, to add to that, I realized only a few years ago that I had never learned, because I didn't go to a Christian school, and Yale University is at this point not only not Christian, but effectively anti-Christian and, you know, aggressively secular. So it was only a few years ago that I really understood the story of America and how American-style self-government and liberty is unavoidably, inextricably intertwined with virtue and faith. There's no way around it. It's not a perspective. It's an absolute reality. It's like math. You cannot have liberty on the American model without robust expressions of faith, without virtue inculcated, usually in communities of faith. And I realized nobody in America, except kids at Day Spring and a handful of other Christian schools, are getting this stuff. And so I put it in my book, If You Can Keep It, and I would do anything to get that book into the hands of every high school kid in America. I was just talking to one of your board members about it, because precisely because we have abdicated doing this on any level, including, unfortunately, in some Christian schools, we are exactly where we are. You could not get people to vote for socialism and cultural Marxism unless you had spent decades not teaching them what liberty is and how it works.
Yeah. And I have three boys. We have three boys. And we're in New Jersey. Okay? And New Jersey has passed laws where they are indoctrinating children directly against God. I mean, in the most dramatic way. We cannot put our children there. You know, it would be like leading our children to stumble. We can't do that. So we are dependent on Christian schools. You know, and so our largest part of our giving this year was to Christian schools, because that is so crucial. I mean, crucial. That should be for every parent should be considering that if they can afford it. And either way, they got to do something.
Amen.
Thank you. One last question. And it's for both of you to answer this. Have you gotten pushback from your positions, your stands, whether it's with the Harbinger books and so forth, or just in your radio program and your podcast? I know that, Eric, you put a lot of things out there and so forth. So how has that affected you personally, and what effect does that have on you?
Well, I think you're right.
Well, it's been astonishing to see people that I think of as friends, as Christian brothers and sisters, effectively disagree with most of what we've said this evening, completely take a different attitude, think that you can somehow be Christian and woke, or Christian and pro-BLM, which is Marxist, or pro-socialist, or apolitical. Apolitical really means pro-communist, let's be honest. There's no way you can be genuinely apolitical. If you are, communism will come in. It's the natural way. Liberty, the title of my book is If You Can Keep It, because Franklin rightly understood that there is no way to have liberty and self-government on the American model unless we, the people, actively keep it by giving money to the right things, by not giving money to the wrong things, by doing everything that's necessary, teaching our kids and on and on and on and on. And it is vital that we do these things or what we have goes away. And so because of this, I have been increasingly vocal, not because I want to, because I don't really like losing friends. I don't like losing speaking engagements. But we have a very strange culture right now where many Christians are playing the game of saying, well, we don't want to be political. We don't want to be this. We don't want to be that. If the house weren't burning, I wouldn't be saying fire. But the house is burning. And I have not made a career of speaking up. But in the last 4 or 5 years, what I have seen has been absolutely astonishing to me. And it's dismaying to see supposed Christians not understand this and think that anybody who talks about some of the things I talk about is somehow being divisive or something. It's almost comical, and only because I have some friends who don't see it that way that I can see it almost as comical. But why should any of us expect we shouldn't pay a price? If Bonhoeffer can go to his death, if Nathan Hale can go to his death, if innumerable people through space and time have gone to their deaths and suffered for what is right, how could we ever even consider not doing what is right? Because we also know Jesus defeated death. So we literally have nothing to be afraid of. And so I have felt emboldened, and I continue to feel emboldened because of folks like you and folks like this. And I want to be honest and say that what you all do and say, it means everything. I couldn't do what I do if it weren't for you. And I want to just say finally that the conversation with Rabbi Kahn is so wonderful that I think after everybody reads his books, I want to go on my radio program maybe in a month or something and continue the conversation that we started here tonight, because there's so much more and it's just so important.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
I've been in ministry for a good while, but when I wrote The Harbinger, more people knew me, and I suddenly got all this. I got great things, but I also wasn't so used to all the attacks. But that's just the way it is. If I wasn't doing anything, if I wasn't affecting things, then I'm not going to get that. But the thing is that we have to, especially in the times that we're in now, we have to be ready for that. The Lord said, "Do not fear man. Do not fear rejection. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You only fear God who loves you, and that's it. It doesn't matter what they think or not. You got to do what's right. We only have one shot at this life, and we have to do that. If we're going to live our life being concerned or fear, then we're in trouble. But we get to a point. It's like a blessed point where you finally say, you know what? That's it. I don't care anymore. I'm going for it, no matter what. And we're going to be pushed to that point. But that's where greatness comes from. That's where it goes. Right now, there is an attempt to silence the voice of God's people all over. I had put something on the web, a message to Joe Biden, and for the first time, we got banned, shadow banned by YouTube. You know, Then they ended up relenting, putting it back, but they do their thing. But the thing is that that's a sign that whatever you're doing, there's something good in it. And the thing is that if we don't speak, if we just say, well, let's keep our neck out of it, like they did, like when Hitler was rising, then you're giving the victory to the enemy and you're ending your space. We have to stand for God no matter what it takes, you know, what it happens. With the enemy, you know, when all this opposition comes, you know what the Lord said? He said, actually, leap for joy and rejoice because great is your reward in heaven.
Hallelujah.
So the thing is that it actually encourages me because I know I'm doing something right, and I know that if the enemy's against me, then God's for me. And if I'm doing something right, that means
Amen.
I got to keep going. I got to do more
Amen.
Of it. I got to do more of it
Amen.
Because there's something, and that's when you're being attacked by the enemy, you're being attacked. It means there's something really good at the end of it, but you got to keep going to see that victory. So listen, I'd love to be like Paul. I'd love to be like Elijah, all of us, but we got to be like that. That's what we have to do that. And the last thing is that, and Eric was alluding to it, is the Lord, listen, he called us. He called us. He said, follow me. You're my disciple. And we have the great high honor to be the disciple of the Messiah. He chose us. It's an honor. It's one thing to be with the Lord when everybody's saying, yeah, it's a Christian society. That's easy, but it doesn't mean that much. But when you stand for him, when we stand for him when it's hard, we stand for him when they're getting opposition, that's when he's saying, well done, my faithful servant. Well done, my bride. That's what it's about. That's when you shine. That's when it counts. That's when it makes a difference. So what a high honor we have to be disciples of the Lord. And he paid the greatest cost for us. We can certainly do for him as he has done for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Folks, you've been listening to my special conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. It was part of the Remember America speaker series conducted for the Dayspring Christian Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Ask Metaxas, another episode. Go! Hello, Eric Metaxas and crew. Thank you for all you do to deliver excellent content. I really enjoyed your recent conversation with Anne Graham Lotz about prayer. Reading her new book will be a joy. It was refreshing to hear you two talking about writing down your prayers. Through the years, I have felt a little lacking due to this practice to ensure my concentration during my quiet times. Hope your genuine conversation will encourage many of us to pursue praying with consistency and journaling prayers to help our wandering minds stay focused. Blessings from Susan P.
Oh, I love these questions. Well, yeah, the conversation with Anne Graham Lotz, obviously you can watch it on our YouTube channel, or you can go to metaxastalk.com and listen to it. But she was talking about writing down her prayers. And I thought to myself, there are certain strains in evangelicalism where people act like all prayer must be spontaneous. And if I write it down, that's bad. A written prayer, whether it's in the, you know, Episcopal prayer book, or whether it is in another book of prayers, or whether it's the Lord's Prayer, which is written down in the Bible, that can serve as a template. And there's nothing wrong with a written prayer. Now, if you read it really quickly, like you don't care what it means, like it's a magic spell, and you just go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not a prayer. That's nonsense. But if you pray it, Our Father who art in heaven, that's written down, but you make it your own when you pray it. I think that that's really an important thing. Bonhoeffer wrote prayers. By the way, that's a good opportunity to mention my Bonhoeffer book. It's 10 years anniversary, new edition. It's got a kind of funky cover to it. But Bonhoeffer, in his life, he wrote prayers out for prisoners. When he was at Tegel Prison, they would ask him, would you write a prayer for me, pastor? He was really a pastor in the prison while he was there. And I think that there's nothing wrong with writing down a prayer if it helps you to focus, or using someone else's written prayer. There are devotional books of prayers that you can buy. I really think that we have to be really careful. Just because it's written down doesn't mean you need to read it like the heathen, you know, like read it like just blah, 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 blah. I mean, I've seen people do that my whole life, where they just, whether in the Greek church or in other churches, you know, like they're not praying, they're just reciting. And people do the same thing with any prayer that's written down. You can just do it to do it, you know, with the Hail Mary or the Our Father, but you can take those same prayers and pray them specifically and personally to God. And I recommend to those of you who struggle with prayer, I think I said it in my interview with Ann Graham Lotz, that, you know, the Lord's Prayer, imagine if somebody asked Jesus, how do you pray? Wouldn't it be great if we knew his answer? Well, they did, and we know his answer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And you can use that as a template. It's written down, but you make it your own, and you can noodle off on some of the sentences. You can say, you know, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, and you can ruminate on that in your own words. Thanks for listening, folks. It is our joy to be with you. Tell your friends about this program. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Don't forget. Folks, we often do Ask Metaxas segments, or not often enough, and we try to read letters, and we get a couple of good questions for Ask Metaxas. But Albin, you had a letter someone sent in. People send in the loveliest letters. This
one's really lovely. They didn't form it it's not in the form of a question, but Melissa D from Cranberry, New Jersey. She says, "Hi, Eric and everybody. I listen regularly and am so grateful for your witness, your humor, and your musical tastes. I so enjoy your show. It brings me joy, reignites my faith, and keeps me laughing and dancing. Thank you, and blessings to you and your families." That's from Melissa. Thank you.
Dancing? Isn't dancing of the devil? What? You know, I'll be honest. We get a lot of sweet letters, and I hope I've said this at other times, but I'll say it again. It means so much to me. Thank you for saying that. My goodness, Cranberry, New Jersey. I don't know where that is, but thank you. We have a number of questions. Yes. I have one here in front of me. Well, let's just call this question number four. I love this. These are just random questions from people. Hello, greetings from Florida. First question. The Bible says, "Judge not lest ye be judged." How does that apply to Christian men and women who are actual judges in the courtroom?
Ooh.
how do you respond to that? Like, there's like eight responses to that, and I can't think of which one. Well, I want to say
first. There's a book of judges in the Bible. So.
Actually, that's hilarious. I would not have thought of that. Thank you, Albin.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. Hilarious once in a while.
This is what I find funny and also disturbing. There are many people who read the Bible wrongly. They seem to not understand that if you just pull a scripture out, that scripture might contradict the full counsel of the rest of the Bible. You have to be careful how you read things, because not everything that's in the Bible can be pulled out of its context. So when Jesus says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," it is obvious from the rest of the Bible that there are judges, that there is appropriate judgment, that Moses appointed people, that you know, the body, the nation of Israel had people appointed as judges and stuff. So it's a point. Oftentimes Jesus makes points, and others in scripture, they're making points the way human beings make points. You're trying to make a point. So when Jesus says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," he doesn't mean don't ever judge anything, because obviously it's our job as parents, as citizens, as spouses to look at a situation and make a judgment. But he's talking against the idea of being too quick to judge, where you forget that, and it says it in other parts, that in the measure that you use to judge, that will be used against you. Yeah. So have grace. There have been a couple of cases in the news not too long ago of people doing unbelievably embarrassing things on Zoom or whatever. And I think to myself, where does grace come in? Like, is it appropriate to howl at that? If that was a good friend of yours, would you howl at that publicly? Or would you say, wow, I feel horrible, I feel sad? That's called having grace. Now, when it comes to matters of the law, you know, you can have both. You can have grace and judgment, right? Somebody steals something, they may get prosecuted for that, but you can still decide to love them and come alongside them and try to help them with their problem. So you're having grace, but there is judgment. Sometimes, here's an example. The guy who tried to kill Pope John Paul II, he was in prison. The Pope visited him in prison and prayed with him and loved him and forgave him in his heart. That doesn't mean that the law didn't judge him and condemn him to serve out a sentence because he was a threat to society. So judgment is a complicated thing. And we have to have a real sense of what the Bible is saying generally and how the world works to put that in context. So when Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judged, he's talking about people who walk around judging all the time and forget that they are being judged and that God will judge them. And that God will show them the same grace that they show to others. And if you don't have an understanding of grace and of your own sin, then you're going to be harsh. That's what Jesus is talking about.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, here's, well, I think we have time for one more. Okay. This is seven, right? Okay, the same person writes, secondly, a monster like Ted Bundy who murdered about 36 women, what would be his fate? Would God condemn him for the crimes he committed or forgive him because Bundy, being a sociopath, was devoid of compassion and empathy for his victims and, quote unquote, couldn't help it?
Hmm.
let me firmly say, I don't know. We really don't know. These things are very complicated. We know that God is a God of love and grace beyond anything we can imagine. We also know that he is a judge, and the Bible is pretty clear that we will be judged. But the fact is that if we put our faith in Jesus, this is according to the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up, man. If we put our faith in Jesus, he takes the rap for our crimes, and we get to go to heaven, though we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Now, what happens once we get to heaven is another story. You know, if you live your life in a certain way, it talks about getting mansions in heaven. It talks about, you know, it's a little complicated, but what happens to somebody like Ted Bundy? I want to say very firmly, I don't know. Everybody,
whoa.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show with my sidekick slash producer,
yeah,
Albin Sadar.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were the sidekick.
No, I could be. I could play the role of sidekick. Listen, switching I'm very around. Versatile. People don't believe me. I was talking to Kevin Sorbo. He's doing these movies. I said, Kevin, give me a part. I don't care what it is. I will show you. You want to know what acting is? I will show you. Hey, you. Sorbo. Hey, Sorbo, I'm talking to you.
You could be Kevin's body double.
Right, I could do it. I'm so ripped, it's not even funny.
Don't joke about those things.
Here's what we need to talk about real
quick. Let's do it.
A couple things.
Okay.
There are still people not signed up for our newsletter.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
And I was talking to some friends yesterday, and they said, where do we find these videos? And I got really, you know, smoke started coming out of my ears, and I said, hey, you get my email, don't you? If you open up the email, every email, we send it out like about twice a week, sometimes more, has all the previous videos. So you're saying, when did Eric have Lou Dobbs on? Where do I find that? When did Eric have Mike Lindell on? When did Eric have Milo Yiannopoulos on? You have to subscribe to ericmetaxas.com. That's the first announcement. The second announcement, we keep talking about people going to mypillow.com and mystore.com. My books are mostly available at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. Well, guess what?
What?
We have a new sponsor called Nutramedics.
Oh, yeah.
N-U-T-R-A. Nutramedics, M-E-D-I-X. Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. You also have to use the code Eric with them. But if you use melatonin, resveratrol, stevia, which is a sweetener, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, like this is all the stuff, magnesium, that I take anyway, right?
The whole alphabet there.
Curcumin. They've... They've got it all, folks. And I just want to say, if you use any of that stuff, my attitude, the reason I'm so excited about Nutramedics and I'm excited to work with them, they give 50% of all of their profits to missions. Did you hear that? 50% to missions and to similar charities. And I'm going to find out what charities. And they have a goal to give away 100 million by the end of this decade. And to put a man on the moon by the end of the 1960s. That's their goal. They've already accomplished the first one.
Yay.
And the second one.
Yes.
If you missed that, you can look it up on microfiche at the library. But they did put a man on the moon in the 60s.
Good.
Nutramedics is going to give away 100 million by the end of this decade. It said 2030, and I thought 2030, that's like 2050, right? No. And then I realized, oh, it's a few years away.
Yeah.
But you have to use the code Eric. But honestly, most of their stuff, just look them up online. You can read their story. We're going to have the founder on this program. But it's hard not for me to be excited because I think I buy all this stuff anyway from somebody. I might as well buy it from Nutramedics.com, and 50% of their profits goes to things that I believe in.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
You can't lose. You cannot lose.
Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Well, what I'd like to say, the weekend is here or coming up, and it's, you know, that's exciting. And did you mention that people have to you did. Well, sign up for your newsletter.
Did I ever mention that? I don't think I've ever mentioned that. Go to ericmetaxas.com.
Use the code Eric. It's double free.
See, now when you confuse people like that, that's bad.
That is.
Ericmetaxas.com. Actually, we'll mention one thing before we go. If you go to our radio website, which is metaxastalk.com, there is a banner to support voter integrity in Georgia. Everybody, all of the woke corporations, Coca-Cola, which I'll never drink again, Delta Airlines, all of these folks are lining up saying that voter integrity is racist. Actually, they are racist. That's I don't have time to break it down.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind, please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and sign the petition for voter integrity in Georgia. Voter integrity is for all Americans, folks. Make no mistake. That's the point of it. All right. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we're here for you. And what they have.